Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the platform for assured integrated reporting. So it brings financial reporting, sustainability, audit, and risk teams together to produce disclosures that are ready for audits, plaudits, and primetime glitz. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debuting a great conversation, and I'm so happy to have you with us. I am also delighted, as always, to have Catherine Tsai and Mike Gravano joining me. Catherine, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Catherine Tsai, professional escrow questions, and I like to drink venti soy chais. And Mike?
Off the Books producer and recovering Cherry Coke addict. We're here to talk about Amplify today, which is our big annual conference. We had thousands of finance and audit and sustainability experts, and I'm sorry if I missed some experts, and more than that. And it was a phenomenal time just a couple weeks ago. And aside from the 75 plus super informative, actionable sessions our attendees got to go to, we had a wild slate of keynotes, including former first Batman, George Clooney, and Sally Kralchek, CEO of Elvest. It was mind-blowing. It was a good time.
And in Denver.
And it was in Denver, which was easy for Catherine and I.
Very easy. And not too far for me. Short flight from Salt Lake City.
Yes. So it really worked out for the Off the Books crew.
Now, we were able to meet with several of our guests, some we've had on the podcast before, some we haven't, and we kind of stuck to some of the same themes, I think, right, with most of our guests?
Yeah, we wanted to take the general pulse on the vibe, as we do every year with this kind of episode. What's Gen AI is not going away, and maybe it's a little more mature than when we talked about it last year. What do they feel about that? What do they feel about assured integrated reporting? And as always, career advice. Everybody needs it. You want it. You asked for it. You're getting it, listeners.
That's right. Let's take a listen.
I'm Brandon Bueller, Chief Accounting Officer of Playa Hotels and Resorts, and I oversee all things accounting, property accounting, corporate accounting, consolidation, financial systems, all things internal controls, SOX and non-SOX, and tax. And I am the main liaison with our internal audit team.
Oh, is that all?
Yes. I fear, I'm like, did I forget someone? If so, I apologize. Hopefully they're not listening. But
Hi, I'm Rachel Staub. I'm Hershey's ESG reporting manager.
Jonathan Gregory, North America controller.
And both returning guests to Off the Books and Off the Books Live here at Amplify.
My name is David Anderson. I am the Assistant Corporate Controller at Playa Hotels and Resorts. And so I know Hershey was just up here. We do not sell candy bars, but we do offer, we do own and operate all-inclusive resorts in Mexico, Jamaica, and in the DR.
The candy of vacations.
That's right. There's candy there.
Sure.
When you go and stay at our resorts.
Now you're talking. Don't vacation without candy. I think that's the takeaway right there. Ahmed, welcome. Thank you so much for stopping by. I think you actually just came to say hello, and we somehow conned you into joining us up here. So thank you for being such a great sport.
Absolutely. I get to shine in your light.
Well, I don't know about that. We've got Catherine and Mike here. So tell us, how are you thinking about Gen AI right now? A lot of conversations happening about that here at Amplify.
It is exciting, just the opportunity it represents. However, the challenge always has been, as it was pointed out in one of the sessions earlier, just the data security aspect of it and whether that the data that we're using, if that's being used to train the models. And I know for a fact our company and our CAO is very particular about keeping the data in-house and not necessarily sharing a whole lot. So that kind of drive could sometimes drive a little bit of hesitance in adoption of Gen AI.
In your role specifically, how do you think you might want to use Gen AI one day?
New disclosures. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Benchmarking or drafting disclosures and kind of setting the benchmark and going from there.
What my head of IT has told me.
Okay.
We're being cautious. Which I do respect, but I think there's a lot of opportunity. So really, the perspective at Playa is we don't want to be the first ones out of the gate. We're hesitant, if you will. We're cautiously observing. But what I can say is that partners we work with are using Copilot and other aspects with Teams. We do a lot of Teams calls, and I'm seeing efficiencies that they're seeing, and I'm liking that. And I like some of the things I'm hearing that are opportunities for us within financial reporting to pull the first draft of a technical memo together or a disclosure together. What I like to say, throwing the pasta against the wall, seeing if it sticks. I think my team spends at least 30-35% of their time on a memo just trying to generate the first draft. And I think it would be very beneficial to use something with AI to generate that first draft. So I am bullish and want to be able to use that. I think it's just working through the risk concerns that might exist with access, et cetera.
Are you experimenting with it today?
I've done a little myself, yeah. But more on the personal side.
Okay, yeah.
Some haikus.
Can we ask? Is that allowed?
Well, sure, it's fine. So, like, okay, if I want to have certain macros that I'm trying to stay within on nutrition, and if I'm going to go out to eat somewhere, I can do a quick ChatGPT. I'm going to this restaurant. These are my macros. What are some suggestions? Or just some meal planning overall. And then I've toyed a little with vacation planning.
Well, okay, so. Scandalous question. You're using ChatGPT for vacation planning. You might remind our audience what Playa Resorts and Hotels actually does.
I'm not asking about all-inclusive vacations.
Fair. Okay, fair
but
enough.
As long as ChatGPT says Playa Hotels and Resorts options are the top of the list here that you should go to.
Then you know you can trust
they,
it.
And then they book direct. So we don't have to pay an OTA.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
I think Gen AI is a really interesting tool to continue exploring. At Hershey specifically, I use it a lot as a foundational element to then build off of and further iterate on as we're figuring out what we're going to say, how we're going to say it, what it means. I love using it to make work easier and better. And by that, I mean, like, take our ESG report and synthesize it into my executive summary. Build me a timeline. Give me some slides of talking points that are geared towards an investor versus talking points geared towards a customer, the different tonalities. So I think there's a lot of options there, but I'm not relying solely on it yet.
Sure. Jonathan?
Well, it's funny, Steve. Actually, my first introduction to AI was, I think, one of your podcasts, and you were talking about how you would ask ChatGPT, and this was the time when there was a Russia-Ukraine conflict, and you asked it to write a risk factor for the 10K. So after hearing you and your kind of, it's passed the sniff test for an SEC disclosure, I did exactly the same thing. Went on ChatGPT, that was my first introduction, asked it the same exact question, and, you know, I was very surprised by the response. I mean, you obviously need to then tailor it to your type of writing. But it was very interesting, the response. And that was, what, 2+ years ago now at this point. So it's developed into something in Workiva platform that I use, again, similar to Rachel, like a baseline on job descriptions or policies. It's always getting that first pen to paper thought and then taking it from there. But I'm excited for some of the use cases and functionality at Hershey going forward.
So us at Playa, we have not utilized Gen AI to date. And so one of the things we're trying to take away from this conference is how are other companies using it, right? What are the capabilities and what are the things that we can do to kind of add some efficiencies? And so what Jonathan was talking about from Hershey, where he plugged in a risk factor and it drafted it out for us. And so we're looking for ideas of what we can take back and really utilize. Talking at the hub over here, one of the things we were interested in is rolling forward financials, and seeing how we can take out some of the manual work.
Switching topics to assured integrated reporting, which is financial and non-financial reports and disclosures. Did I catch that right? 30,000 view, Steve?
Sure, with some audit dashed in there. Yeah,
that's right. The assurance.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it real? Does it matter?
For me, yes, absolutely. I think it's all of that interconnectivity. It's the single source of truth. It drives efficiencies. So I think it's very real.
How much pressure are you getting right now to get assurance over not just financial data, but also non-financial data?
Well, we are a European company. Okay. We are a Dutch company, and so the European requirements for sustainability are a very real thing for us. And so, yeah, we're getting pressure beyond just simply audit, if you will.
Candidly, I'm not sure I know the answer to this question, but I do wonder, how big a deal would that be to customers, for example, when it came to labor practices or sourcing or whatever? And I don't know if you're down into the level of details, but that's one of the things that we hear a lot. Like, hey, ESG might not be the part of the growth strategy, but it is a part of the growth strategy.
So we definitely, in all of our hotels, like, we are very much on the leading edge, if you will, of the social awareness with the oceans and cleaning beaches and having renewable energy. We're doing projects like that. But from an assurance standpoint, that's where I'm making drawing line. No one's asking us for assurance on that outside of the ESG realm that's being required. So we get high ratings, if you will, in comparison against other properties, other hotel brands. But I'm not sure how much guests are rating that in their decision points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Something to watch in the future.
Yeah, it is. I think it's an opportunity that might be there, and it's something to be aware of.
Yeah.
We certainly care about it from our own marketing and just behavior to good stewards of the world and in places we operate. But from an assurance standpoint, not getting specifically asked.
Rachel's going to make me go first. So, for sure, it's not a used term in practice. However, I mean, in theory, all of the concepts are really there at the end of the day. You have a 10K that is assured. You have ESG reports that may be limited assured. And then you have regulation that at some point is going to bring it together. And while we're doing that to an extent, I think that it's a term that will find itself in practice here very shortly within the next, you know, near term, probably 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's definitely a real thing. It's a matter of nomenclature and just who's calling what it is. I would say we are working towards an integrated report. We have portions of our ESG assured. We have portions that are third-party verified. But are we truly at, like, integrated assured reporting? No, but is anybody?
It's fair. I mean, I don't want to say the answer is definitively no, but I do think that that's, if not aspirational, I certainly think that is a goal that people are continuing to strive for.
Absolutely. It's a North Star, right? Like, we're all on a journey. We're on different ways and exponential growth to get there. And it's different for every company and every person.
Since we have some experts on the stage, with integrated reporting, do you think that there will ever be just one report, or do you think there will still be sustainability reports, financial annual reports? What do you think?
I mean, I can share my opinion, but
I want you to go first.
Okay. I don't think we will ever solely get to one. And I think we're going to see the evolution of ESG reporting, right? We first started with what I call, like, the puppies, kittens, rainbows, softer side of the storytelling, because you always have those employee stories, those customer stories, the consumers that really want to have the feel-good moment with your brand or your company. And then we morph to where we are now, which is much more data-heavy, investor-focused, very, like, ESG expert focus versus ESG enthusiast. And I think with the evolution that we're facing in the regulatory landscape, that we are moving forward further to the both and of, like, you're going to need to do the ESG expert piece, but integrated. And you're still going to have to tell that consumer, like, softer storytelling piece. It's not going to completely go away. It's just going to continue to evolve.
Okay.
What do you think, Jonathan?
No, I actually completely agree with that. You're always going to have an element that's outside of some data-heavy, whether it's financial or non-financial report, and whatever you want to call it. I know we could focus on the SEC and say that's what we focus on at Hershey, right? We're a U.S. domestic company. We're international as well, too. But it's really going to depend on other countries and the velocity of regulation in other countries and where we have an impact and where we have a footprint in general. So there's a lot of variety. There's diversity in practice. So I think what Rachel said actually hits it right on the head.
Oh my, like, God, he agreed with
that. I did agree.
Oh, my goodness.
I agree.
It's two separate audiences, it sounds like, too, for each report.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that, because analysts probably do want it in one spot, but there's elements that will probably never inherently make it into one document. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be an element outside of the data-heavy financial and non-financial report.
So I worked for Stryker Corporation. I'm the manager of SEC reporting.
Excellent. I love that.
Thank you.
You speak Steve's language, apparently.
Yes.
It's my love language.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess.
Your pin shows it.
Yeah, that's right. My SEC Pro pin. So one of the other things we've been talking a lot about is what Workiva has called assured integrated reporting. But really, we're talking about financial and non-financial data being brought together, you know, ready for assurance, whether that's internal audit, external audit, you know, you name it. How are you guys thinking about that? Are you bringing in non-financial information into your financial statements at this point?
Not currently, to the extent that we would like to in the future. So we are currently just wrapping up an implementation of the ESG module.
Oh, wonderful.
So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to work on connecting financial data to non-financial data within that module. So that's something exciting I'm looking forward to. And with the climate disclosures kind of finalizing in the near future, hopefully the data will flow both ways. And it's exciting times because all the CSRD and the sustainability stuff is very Europe-focused at this point. And our director of ESG reporting is based out of Europe. So her primary focus has been the ESG implementation. And I've kind of been an observer, if you will, and would definitely love to get more involved in the sharing of data and the integration.
What is it that wants, that makes you want to get more involved with ESG data?
It's just exciting, right? Because Steve will attest to this, SEC reporting is very compliance-focused. So there's not a whole lot of new things that come our way. And when it does, it's exciting. And I definitely want to get involved.
Always looking for something new in SEC reporting, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, you know, RevRec and leases was a long time ago, so maybe you just haven't had a lot to think about recently.
Exactly.
I think it also is exciting, you know, in terms of like a career move, because this is something that not a lot of people, not a lot of SEC reporting directors maybe have dabbled with so much. I mean, have you been working closely with ESG teams to date?
Primarily for annual reporting type stuff, and beyond that, not a whole lot. So this is definitely going to be an interesting collaboration going forward.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a thing that you guys told us a thing. It is 100% a thing. Now, I have not used it in that context. So when I think of a assured integrated reporting, you know, being on our side of the house and a public company, first thing you go to is our 10K, right? But I think, you know, being a large accelerated filer, we have to have an integrated audit, you know, SOX, financials. But one thing I see in an opportunity to work Workiva platform is kind of assured integrated across all reports, right? And so we have one set of data that we're, you know, having same controls, things over that we can issue and support all of our filings.
And when you think about, like, what it's going to take for you to, I mean, I'm assuming you wouldn't say that, like, hey, everything that we want to do, we have done, like, we have achieved. And so given that that's the case, which I think is kind of the situation for most people, it's a little bit of a North Star. Hershey just shared that thought, which I thought was a great way to describe it. What needs to happen, do you think? I mean, what are the next steps that you plan to be taking in order to get to that North Star or continue in that direction anyway?
So, you know, when you think about this concept, one thing that, you know, for us is when you're looking at the Workiva module, the way I personally view it is it's one place where we can have our financials, but then you also have the SOX module, right? And so you have everything right there all in one spot where, you know, it's all speaking the same language and you gain the efficiencies of having everyone in the system look at the same thing.
Today's episode of Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva. In today's world, musicians can make money in several ways. And while it may seem simple, it's actually quite complicated. Seriously, just Google how musicians make money. For the sake of time, we'll only mention a few. Live performances, merch, and streaming royalties. And while there are always exceptions, most artists aren't making a living redoing their work. But as you might have guessed, we're here to discuss an exception. Recently, one musician's been seeing success redoing her work. You might know her all too well. These re-recorded albums are making quite the splash in the music industry, breaking new records, re-engaging fans, and making that money. But repetitive work in your audit and risk processes simply isn't benefiting you, is it, dear listener? If you're wasting valuable time chasing down evidence requests or manually updating SaaS reports, then it's time to discover what Workiva can do for you. Automate all that awful stuff so you can spend more time on value-added work. Audit and risk teams plus Workiva? It's a love story. Just go to workiva.com/risk. That's workiva.com/risk and say yes.
Well, last we wanted to ask you about just the talent pool right now. There's a talent shortage, certainly in accounting and finance. Imagine that's the same case for ESG. But what are you seeing out there? I mean, is it hard to fill positions? And not only necessarily hard to fill positions, is it hard to find people that have that right set of qualities for what you're looking right now? So much has changed over the last few years.
Yeah, I think I'll go first. In the ESG space, the challenge is that a decade ago, like when I first got into this area, everything was new and everything was truly grassroots growth. And so it didn't matter if you had an ESG background or not because you figured it out along the way. And while we still have that kind of mental mentality, the expectation, whether you're a company or a big four or anybody, is that you want someone that has experience. But yet that experience is constantly evolving. Like, what does that baseline look like? It's very different now. And so we need to figure out a way to bring along a younger generation that can learn and grow with us and gain that experience without the expectation that they already have it. I think that's a challenge right now. I see it all the time. I see it in hiring. And also I see it in a generational shift in the amount of work ethic and how much people are willing to give to make things happen. And I think in this growing and changing space, you have to give a lot. And sometimes there's not great balance, and I'm the first to admit that. That's something I'm working on personally, like better balance, right? But it is a necessity of where we're at.
For me, there's no secret that there's obviously an accounting shortage at colleges and universities, and that impacts us directly, but it first impacts the big four accounting firms, because the natural trajectory is go through college, get your accounting degree, go out and work for a big four public accounting firm, get your CPA, and then kind of go from there. Some of the things that we've seen at Hershey, at least in the CAO team and the tax team, we are departments where we require certain positions to have a CPA license. Now it's more like, if you don't have your CPA license, are you interested in pursuing your CPA license? And how do we help you? How do we keep you accountable? So the narrative has changed a little bit from we expect all of our resumes incoming to have active CPA licenses to now, all right, well, we need to like actually mentor and coach and help these individuals achieve this if they're interested, right? But there are other departments broadly in finance, not just at Hershey, but Treasury, FP&A, just supply chain finance, internal audit. They don't need their CPA license. It's certainly nice to have, but it's something that we're working towards. We haven't been impacted too hard yet. But we also try to have programs like summer internships. So this past summer, we had like 9 finance interns spread across the finance organization. I had 2 in my direct areas. So it was good just to give them exposure. They're not your typical accounting majors. They could be finance. They could be economics. But they may have an interest in a future accounting career and everything. Lastly, I'll just say with the Milton Hershey School in Hershey, we have an opportunity to like tap into those high schoolers and kids at an early age so that they realize what the benefits are if they were to take on an accounting career. So there's things that we're trying to do locally in Hershey to kind of resurrect accounting majors at colleges and universities.
If people join your team, do they get free Take 5 candy bars?
Absolutely. You already know the answer to that.
I need to join your team, I think.
Yes, you do. You surely do.
So, one, I'm finding it's hard to find people unless you really do. Like, we are feeling the pressure to really offer the remote work opportunities. We've tried to have someone local so that we do offer remote work. But our preference is that you're within the geographic location so that we can still get together physically at times. And we've had to suspend those preferences to try to cast a wider net. And it's been difficult to find qualified candidates. So that is one struggle we're having. Another thing is I really want my team to just be curious. That is a big thing. I don't want them to be complacent. If something has been working really well for a while, that doesn't mean that it is intended to continue to work that way still, because our environment has changed. Facts and circumstances of new regulation or new people change, and so therefore the process might need to change, and therefore the controls need to change. But if you're just looking at it as status quo, everything is still running the way it's been for the last 5 years, but should it? It's almost like when you're doing a variance analysis for your quarterly reviews or something. And oftentimes we just say, okay, well, if the dollar amount is this, if it's above this dollar amount and this percentage change threshold, I'll look at it. But what happens is there are sometimes balances that didn't change, but they should have changed. And you're not looking at it because you were only looking at the things that were above a threshold. And so the same thing with processes. I want people to be curious and look at it, the processes that already seemingly are going well. Just continue to monitor, see if it's still relevant. Sometimes I find it's a challenge to get people to do that.
Do you find that that helps with employee engagement, because they kind of have a license to be curious, to maybe dig into something that perhaps if they were just like rushed against a deadline that they wouldn't otherwise feel like they could?
So I believe, yes, that that would engage employees to feel more skin in the game, more that they are writing the story of their career and the company. But sometimes I find that I'm having to help instill that desire and that curiosity within them. I don't know if it's inherent in everybody. So I like to talk about it and encourage people to have that curiosity.
I like that idea of writing the story of your career. It's a great way to frame it. Like, you're in control.
Yeah, you really do have an opportunity to make a big impact. And I think that we often underestimate or undervalue that. Even the person who just joined out of college, they might think, oh, I'm just here to get everything told, you know, put onto me, and I am the sponge and I'm supposed to soak everything up. Why do they want to hear from me? I do want to hear from you. I hired you because I think you have a perspective. True, maybe there's things that you need to grow with, and I'm going to teach you that, but I still want to get your perspective on it. You have a seat at the table. I want to hear from you.
Do you have any, I mean, we all know giving and receiving feedback, we all can work on it. Do you have any advice you have or have heard that you think can help that?
I think, one tactic that I like to use is transparency for the things I'm working on myself. Because I think it really helps people to understand that everybody has things that could be better and that they're working on. And when you kind of show that for yourself, it really helps a person be more receptive when you have feedback to share about something that they did. And also, I think it helps them to know that you're really on their team and you want them to be successful. So that's one of the tactics I use the most.
Oh, that's great. Final question. Talking to your younger self, beginning of your career, what do you wish you knew then that you know now?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say trying to quiet your mind when it comes to the imposter syndrome, I say, is a really big one, and just kind of having the courage to try things and bring up ideas while also respecting, you know, the people that are in command at the time. I've had times when I saw something that I thought could really change the way the department works and brought it up, not only brought it up, but really worked on the idea and made an actual proposal and had that be accepted. And, you know, that's something I wouldn't think would have been possible. But sometimes if you just take the time and go for it, it is possible. I've also had the other thing happen where I've spent a lot of personal time, you know, building something I thought would be implemented and it wasn't. And you win some, you lose some. So I think just having the confidence to really go for it and believe that you can make a difference and reach your goals.
So what we are currently seeing is there's quite a bit of internal mobility. So a lot of people getting promoted. However, there has been challenges like a lot of our speakers pointed out today in backfilling those roles. And to your point, automation could drive, or Julie's point earlier, automation could help us bridge a lot of that gap going forward. And that's kind of, this is my first time at Amplify, and that's kind of one of my key focus is trying to understand how I can implement more automation in our processes.
It's wonderful. Well, welcome. First time at Amplify and on the podcast. You're crushing it right now, right?
Yep.
I love it.
Other than joining random podcasts when they invite you, do you have any advice for folks younger in their career, maybe just starting out their first couple years?
I'd say be a sponge and never hesitate to jump in. If an opportunity arises to try something new, do it, because when you're new and learning, you get a lot of benefit of the doubt, which as you move up the ladder, that kind of diminishes. So you have a lot of opportunity to make mistakes and learn from your mistakes. And whenever you get a job to do, try to do it well, right? You might not get all the plum assignments all the times, but whatever you do, do it well.
Love that. That's just in life. Great advice.
We are not the largest company, so, you know, we are, our corporate staffing turnover is not as much as what you would experience in some of the larger companies, right? And so our ESG director, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, he's the last, you know, one of the major positions we were looking for, and he recently joined the company. But the search was not easy, right? We are definitely seeing a gap in, you know, what people are out there. And so, like, we personally apply, we have a hybrid culture, right? And so we are partially remote, we are partially in the office. We're looking for somebody who can kind of facilitate that. But there are certain job openings we have to consider fully remote, right, in order to attract the best talent, and, you know, because if they may not be, geographically located by us, right? So there's definitely challenges we're seeing out there, but it has not impacted Playa as much as I think other companies.
For your team, what are the factors do you think keep people at Playa?
I mean, the culture at Playa is, I don't want to use the word young because it's not an age thing, but I feel like Playa has, you know, I've been there over 9 years, and I never expected for me to be at Playa for 9 years. But the really believe in the leadership and the culture that they're building, where they are investing in systems like Workiva. We've added multiple modules over the last half a decade to kind of help facilitate efficiencies and things in our process. So I think we just have a very good culture of people who really respect each other and really work hard and believe in what we're selling. I mean, there are less sexy products to sell than all-inclusive resorts, so that's also a big benefit.
I think we have time for one more closing question. Catherine, I know you have one.
I know. I always have to ask this. Oh, wait. First of all, how big is your team?
So it's the director and myself. But we manage the process, if you will. But we have our technical accounting team and other folks involved in preparing the document.
Okay. Because I'm really curious to hear, like, what you talk about in one-on-ones, either with the person above you or with somebody that you're working with.
Yep. Primarily, a lot of times it's just business, what needs to get done, but also career mobility and what's kind of top of mind for leadership at any given point in time.
Is this a legitimate question, or could I make a joke right now?
You can 100% make a joke.
We usually talk about Costco and the trips that we're, you know.
That's an important topic.
Exactly. There you go. Now, so when we're talking one-on-one with higher-ups, you know, you made a comment about being concise, right? And I think that the one of the things I try to focus on is how do we get the message across, you know, at the most concise, highest level, and then without breaking down every little detail. And then they can always ask questions to break things down as necessary. So that's one of the things I try to focus on when we're talking to C-suite.
Ooh, that's a good question. I always like to ask at the end, and I did this with some Workiva folks this week too, of like, what am I not asking about that I should be asking about? Like, what's on the radar that maybe we haven't touched on or that maybe you didn't bring up because that was too far away from what we really needed to cover today? And that always unearths some really interesting topics of just things like, okay, let's let this percolate some more and then bring it up again. Or, hey, that actually is really valid. Let's talk about that right now. I've got a few extra minutes.
The question I've been asking my team members recently is less about work and what they're working on, but just how are they mentally, how are they doing outside of work? It just seems like there's a lot of folks, whether they're in accounting or finance, or I'm walking through the plants and giving people a hard time, I'm choking, that, you know, there's just a lot on people's plate, personally, professionally. So I've been trying to, like, just check in. Rachel could attest to this as well. Do it off on the side. So I don't think it hurts. It goes a long way, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, just that basic relationship building. Again, how are you? How are you really?
Yeah, like, now stop lying to me. How are you?
Next time we ask you what your Diet Coke issue, I mean, tell us really, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good to hear that,
although
Steve.
There is no Diet Coke at Amplify unless it's brought in under the radar, which is sad and disappointing to me, but we deal with it. It's okay. Jonathan Gregory, Rachel Stow from the Hershey Company, thank you, as always, for talking to us. Perhaps a few different directions than anticipated, but always a good time. Thank you both.
Remember, you asked for this.
That's true. I did ask for this.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you again to all of our guests from Amplify, and thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Catherine Tsai. That was Mike Gravano and Steve Soder, and this has been Off the Books presented by Workiva.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and by golly, tell your buddies if you like the show. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, please leave us a note in the comments. We would love to hear from you, or feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.